A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. Today, we'll hear about the National Alliance for Audition Support, a new initiative designed to foster greater diversity in American orchestras and support musicians of color as they chart their careers. My guests will be Afa Dworkin, President and Artistic Director of the Sphinx Organization, Howard Herring, President of the New World Symphony, and Jesse Rosen, President and CEO of the League of American Orchestras. We'll talk about the challenges in increasing diversity and how this program addresses the needs of these musicians. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. This year's Pulitzer Prize in Music made history as the choice of hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar honored for the first time a work that was neither in the classical or jazz field. In naming Lamar's album, entitled Damn, as the winner of the $15,000 prize, the Pulitzer Committee called it a virtuosic song collection unified by its vernacular authenticity and rhythmic dynamism that offers vignettes capturing the complexity of African-American life. Commentators in the classical music world took note, many praising the choice as the natural evolution of inclusion in music, society, and the prize. Others expressed concern over whether the work, hip-hop itself, or any presumably commercial piece was appropriate to include. The Pulitzer was first awarded in the music category in 1943. The Minnesota Orchestra has named Michelle Miller Burns as its new president and CEO, with her five-year term beginning in September. Currently executive vice president for institutional advancement and chief operating officer at the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, Burns previously held several positions in the administration of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. In a statement, Minnesota music director Asma Vanska praised Burns' ability to cultivate strong relationships with musicians and collaborators. Burns will succeed Kevin Smith, who was brought on board in 2014 to help rebuild the orchestra after a bitter contract dispute between musicians and management led to a 16-month lockout. In other Minnesota news, the orchestra was one of the American orchestras invited to participate in this year's BBC Proms, whose schedule for the summer will also include a tribute to Leonard Bernstein and mark the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. The Baltimore Symphony Orchestra will make its Proms debut in the Bernstein tribute under the baton of Marin Alsop, who studied under the legendary conductor and educator. The summer's Proms will also highlight women composers, featuring the work of 22 women, including a Last Night of the Proms commission by Roxana Banufnik. Among other premieres is a commission by composer and Princeton University professor Stephen Mackey. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. As orchestras strive for greater diversity among their musicians, a variety of approaches have been instituted by ensembles, conservatories, and other organizations to support musicians of color. The audition process is a major step along this route, but sometimes just getting to the audition stage itself has its own share of complexities. Recently, three organizations that have been tackling issues of inclusion and diversity, the Sphinx Organization, the League of American Orchestras, and the New World Symphony, have joined together to launch the National Alliance for Audition Support, an initiative that will provide financial assistance, mentoring, and other services designed to help Black and Latino musicians access and participate in a greater number of auditions at U.S. orchestras. The Alliance is funded through a four-year, $1.8 million grant from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation and support from American orchestras. I spoke with Afa Dworkin, President and Artistic Director of the Detroit-based Sphinx Organization, whose programs support musicians of color at various points in their careers, Jesse Rosen, President and CEO of the League of American Orchestras, and Howard Herring, President of the Miami-based New World Symphony, which for 30 years has served as a training ground for young musicians on their way to an orchestral career. Dworkin said the initiative pulls together the strengths of the various partners to focus on the audition process as a means to make the orchestral world more diverse.
As far as the climate, I think overall it's, of course, a complicated issue and one that can't be simply answered, certainly not from my standpoint. I will say that despite the complexity and some unfortunate historical data that we do have about the climate orchestras, I would say I've been very encouraged by the spirit of receptivity and openness, and also just the desire to do something and do something different and effective. I say this in terms of my work with a variety of different administrators from orchestras, but also musicians from a whole host of partner orchestras who have been not only open to this work and the dialogue, but really have stepped up to want to participate. From Sphinx's standpoint, over the past certainly 2 or 3 years, we've done a bit of this work by developing an initiative called Sphinx Orchestral Partnerships Audition, where we literally work with orchestras directly to create professional audition experience and then hopefully opportunities for contract work and beyond for musicians of color. And I've seen a lot of enthusiasm and definite receptivity and really commitment from orchestras. I think we're all clear that we can't continue to do what we do. So I think it's just now a matter of zeroing in on effective work and how do we do it in a way that's really making a difference.
Jesse, as Afa mentioned, the League has been working with some orchestras on a real variety of programs. So many different orchestras have come up with some fellowships or embedded musicians. What have you found in terms of what orchestras have been doing in the past decade or so to address this issue?
I think there's a renewed energy around addressing the opportunities associated with a more diverse musician workforce, and it's really exciting. And we're playing catch up, and as Afa was saying, we have a legacy that really interfered with having diverse musicians in our field. And so now there's really great desire and I think will on the part of orchestras to work hard to ensure that the musicians on stage are more diverse. And of course, there are other dimensions of this having to do with the board, with the staff, with volunteers, with the audience. The National Alliance for Audition Support targets specifically musicians on stage. What's interesting about this moment is that the efforts are quite varied and taking on new shapes. The principal way orchestras addressed this issue in the past was through the creation of fellowships, and that was really the singular way this was done, and it's principally limited to string positions in orchestras. And now we're seeing really, still fellowships, but also additional and new kinds of models. For example, the partnership between the Cincinnati Symphony and the Conservatory in Cincinnati, where undergraduates are, as part of their undergraduate training, already beginning to work with the orchestra and get the benefit of mentoring and coaching from the Cincinnati Symphony musicians. There's a partnership emerging now between the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra and the Inner City Youth Orchestra of LA, which is partnering high school kids with professional musicians. The Achel Rondo program of the Nashville Symphony, this is again also targeting high school age kids with the Nashville Symphony musicians, and as you referenced, the embedded musicians program of the Houston Symphony, where these are quasi fellowships where the musicians also, in addition to playing in the orchestra, have curatorial roles in various neighborhoods in and around Houston.
Howard, from the perspective of New World Symphony, which itself, my understanding is there's some dynamic programs that have been at work there, what's the approach that the symphony's been using to look at this situation and try to make changes on its own?
We have been conscious of this problem for a very long time, all of us on this call and across the orchestral enterprise. What we put forward is a very practical system of preparing for auditions. The audition process is an enormous challenge for a young player to get themselves together as a musician. Psychological preparation, the time it takes to prepare for these auditions, it's a complicated process. And we have, over the years, worked very hard at honing the preparation process. So our contribution here is the practical approach to how you get yourself in the right place to take an audition. Get yourself poised for success. We have 87 players in the New World Symphony. Last year, 26 of those players left us for a professional orchestral position. So you can see that in a market that's relatively constricted, there's not that many openings per year, we have gotten very good at getting our players ready to take those auditions and be successful. We're going to apply that same approach to this particular circumstance, and we think we can make a difference.
Each of your organizations do bring something to the table. So let's talk about what the Alliance will do.
So the way we're envisioning the work of this Alliance is rather than individual contributions from each organization, even on a practical level, that will, of course, occur, we're looking at this as more of a holistic effort where all three organizations, but really supported by and advised by many, many segments of the field, and maybe importantly so, a group of musicians of color who themselves have gone through this professional path of ending up in professional orchestras. We're looking at it as more of a holistic approach. Main component of this Alliance work is really, we include kind of our approach to really understanding the problem. So we're still in the middle of a comprehensive survey, a questionnaire of the field, particularly targeting musicians of color, done with the purpose of us really fully understanding the challenges and the barriers and actually really just the depth of their experience so that as we shape a lot of this programming, it is an informed approach rather than an approach based on, say, historical data and what we feel is needed. So we're already learning a lot of wonderful lessons from this questionnaire, and we think it'll shape a lot of what we've laid out already. One of the kind of early things we will do is we'll hold a pilot version of an audition intensive, which is going to be conducted by and at the New World Symphony. And really the idea there is to take this first cohort of musicians and provide them with an immersive, comprehensive experience where they get not only audition training, but also psychological preparation, mental preparation, and really an opportunity to convene as a group, get to know one another, and maybe share an experience. And there, the instruction is going to be delivered by some of the more exceptional musicians, some of whom are representatives of communities of color and others who just really are wonderful allies and really believe in the importance of this work. So the audition intensive will kind of be our entryway. And then I think importantly, throughout the year and throughout this entire four-year pilot period, what we're going to do a lot is work on an individual level with each musician and really try to create really an individualized package of services, which will include mentorship, audition preparation, coaching, and specific support toward their endeavors as they, you know, take these auditions and really prepare to enter the ranks of American orchestras. We have the advantage of knowing a lot of the field of these emerging musicians due to the work of really Sphinx and New World and the League. So we're lucky to have enough of our arms around what the pool looks like and really are looking to learn more and get to know more musicians. Of course, the audition fund itself is specifically designed to provide direct financial support to musicians as they take auditions, as they look at kind of their level of preparedness and let us know which areas they need support in, be that instruments, be that, you know, travel and maybe room and board as they go and take auditions, as well as funds for coaching and preparation and additional lessons that we're looking to support. And overall, this work is designed to be fluid, sensitive, and agile as we learn more lessons. We are prepared to tweak it, evolve it, and work together to really make sure that the services we're providing and the type of assistance and mentorship is really geared toward results rather than kind of potentially just the history of what's been done in the past.
There is this intensive audition preparation workshop. It's 3 days long, and we'll have 18 players with us, all string players, violin, viola, cello. They'll spend those 3 days with individual coaches, teachers in groups. They'll do the psychological training and they'll do the mock audition. What we've discovered over the years is that the mock audition has high value. They'll listen to each other. They'll be part of the committee sometimes. They'll have the coaches and teachers will be the committee. They will be playing for that committee, reflecting on how they do and then adjusting their playing going forward. So the mock audition is a very powerful piece. They also, in those 3 days, only 3 days, we know from our experience here, they will share the experience and they'll become colleagues. And that will help them going forward. They'll have each other. They will rely on each other as they leave here and go deeper into the process of auditioning. So that's the first piece. The second piece is online audition workshops. We have worked very hard at exploiting the dialogue that is inherent in internet connectivity, so that this is players and coaches who come here to coach being available online to teach. We do online workshops that are focused on specific instruments, 3, 4, and 5 geographic locations coming together. Someone plays an excerpt, a coach in that particular location coaches, but the other coaches from the other locations are welcome to make their comments as well. So you get a number of students and a number of teachers in an online circumstance, and you craft that carefully as far as the teachers and the students. So that's the second piece. The third piece is something we call Mosaic, which is an online reference. There's about 700 segments in the Mosaic Library right now. We're going to carefully choose players of color to make these segments, to make these teaching segments based on the excerpts that players must play in order to have a successful audition. We're going to make those segments. We're going to get them out there online, and players can continue to use them going forward as they need them. This will be sort of an on-demand piece from them. Those are the primary ways that we'll be working with players of color identified by AFA and supported in all the work that Jesse is doing. Some of the coaches are going to be our fellows, the players of color who are in this orchestra right now, a total of 12 here at New World at the moment.
Just to fill out the picture, you know, with the league role, you know, we have 700 member orchestras, and I think the important thing here is the mobilization of them behind this effort and having the whole community of organizations on board, you know, kind of a powerful piece of resource. And I say that from a variety of standpoints. One is all these orchestras have within them numerous people who will be tapped to be mentors and coaches and play a role in supporting the musicians in the alliance. And also, our members will be participating financially. And then finally, the creation of this alliance also is really the creation of a kind of a focal point for the ongoing conversation about diversity in the orchestra field. And through the league, our membership will be able to be at the table with Sphinx, with New World, and other partners, the American Federation of Musicians, ICSOM and ROPA, the higher education community, as we continue to dig into many of the other dimensions of diversity, equity, inclusion that need to be addressed in our field. And I think I can say confidently that the work of the Alliance is a very important piece of the work, but it is far from the whole piece of work that needs to be done. So I think the creation of this effort is a beginning point and a focal point for not just executing on this program, but also galvanizing a lot of stakeholders in deepening and extending the work over the long term.
Who will be eligible for the program in terms of how they'll be chosen? You mentioned there will be 18. And is this something that will be refreshed annually, or will these same musicians be the group for the period of the initial 4 years?
Ultimately, any musician who identifies themselves as Black and/or Latinx from the orchestral instrument family is eligible. And there's a variety of different kind of segments of musicians who are served through various aspects of this program. For example, the audition fund, through which we'll actually disperse funds and resources to the musicians, is going to embrace a much larger number of musicians, of course, than just the 18 who will participate in the pilot audition intensive at the New World. So this first year, for example, the audition intensive is serving, just as a pilot, we're serving string musicians only, just to kind of test it out. And also, since that represents the largest family of instruments and orchestras, ultimately we're looking to expand beyond the strings, of course. And otherwise, you know, all instrumentalists are eligible for the audition support for coaching and mentorship and the year-round piece of it. And as far as being renewed or refreshed every year, one can benefit from the program on a repeated basis. At the same time, we anticipate, you know, that we'll get new musicians and we will attract new attention and expand the family every year.
You certainly mentioned being open to hearing from the participants as they go through. Up until this point, what are some of the very specific things that you've heard from musicians of color in terms of the steps and the challenges that they perceive and what they feel would be very helpful?
So far, what we're learning from not only our previous work in surveying our alumni base, but now also even having had the questionnaire that we're currently conducting open for about a month, what we're learning is that this work is needed, desired, and certainly it seems like, at least on the preliminary level, I can confidently say that the audition intensive and hands-on coaching and instruction piece seems to be extremely welcome. At the same time, I think what we're learning, and this is probably intuitive and just being confirmed from what we probably assumed from our previous knowledge, is that most certainly financial obstacles are absolutely tangible and real, and just due to the sheer number of auditions that one must take in order to land a job, hopefully, even in a best-case scenario, it ends up being costly and something that is a barrier, not necessarily specific to just musicians of color. I mean, it's just a factor, but probably more pronounced in our case. So far, we are learning, kind of besides a lot of the wonderful qualitative data we're gathering and learning about kind of the stories of some of the musicians who have gone through this path previously, we are learning that there's definitely a hunger, a need, and an urgency for the elements that we're creating within the Alliance's work.
Just to underscore what Afa said, the first big convening that we organized in recent years, 2.5 years ago, together with the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, we heard from numerous African-American and Latinx musicians tell us that the financial barriers to auditioning were really substantial. And in addition to that, the need to prepare for auditions, if you're a freelance player, really requires you to turn down work so you can get in shape and prepare, and creating another kind of financial hardship. So that was a message delivered loud and clear to us by many. And there was another dimension, too, that was really very eloquently told by Anthony McGill, the principal clarinet in the New York Philharmonic. Anthony described his career trajectory and the importance of how at every critical juncture, whether it was what instrument to buy, who to study with, what high school to go to, what college to go to, what summer program, there were a group of people around him who helped him make the right decision and helped him transition from one stage to the next. So this idea of building in those kinds of supports and connecting up the resources in any particular community to coordinate them, align them on behalf of talent is another piece that's come up. And then finally, I think we have to say that we've also heard from many African-American and Latinx musicians that there are issues within the orchestra itself that pose barriers to entry, from bias to the audition process, and in some instances, just a lack of desire and will to have diverse workplaces. And of course, the National Alliance is not targeting that piece specifically, but that's an important message that we have heard describing, another dimension of the challenge.
What we're hoping that this alliance work will include very much in the way, and one of the manners in which it will set itself apart from previous efforts, is that it's a very musician-centric approach, in that we are listening as intently as we can to the musicians who have both gone through this path and have the experience, but also those who are, at the beginning of the path, where they're still seeking to find their way and look for support and build that community that Tony McGill is talking about. So that's why there's such an emphasis on both the surveying and the questionnaire, but also creation of the advisory group of musicians of color who will help inform and guide some of the work that we're doing.
I would finish off by telling this story. As we began this conversation, tracking all the way back to the first time League of American Orchestras brought us all together, and in some specific convenings we've done here at New World, we ourselves took on the challenge by saying that, first of all, we wanted to know how many players of color were eligible to and ready to audition for the New World Symphony. And we did our homework, and we discovered that there were far more players out there than we were seeing in the audition group. So our choice was to, or our decision was to begin recruitment, to begin to be recruiters. We have not recruited for a number of years here. We have 1,300 applicants for the 30 openings in each New World Symphony as we roll year to year. 30 players leave us and 30 players come in. So we haven't had to recruit, but we did indeed recruit. And we went from last year's orchestra with four players of color, which would be the average over the last 10 or 15 years, to this year with 12 players of color. The difference was that we invited them to audition. That's the only difference that is a fact. So it's my opinion that as we open our understandings and as we open our imaginations and as we embrace the larger community of available players, I believe that we will change the face of American orchestras. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of preparation. It's going to take a lot of support, which we are trying to establish with this alliance. But I think we've got a good chance of getting to the right place relatively soon. I would also say that in this orchestra with 12 players of color out of 87, all of the members of this year's New World Symphony feel like this is an orchestra that is stronger, and they enjoy being in an inclusive environment.
I think we all approach this with a certain amount of humility. This is not a new conversation in the orchestra field. And people who have been in and around orchestras for a long time reasonably want to know, why should this be any different? And, you know, there have been efforts going on for at least 40 years. We know that the needle hasn't moved very much. So there is understandable skepticism. And I think we'd be naive to think that because we've started this program, you know, everything all of a sudden is going to change. And so I think we go into this with some humility about the past and how daunting this challenge has been and how prior efforts have been incomplete at best. But having said that, I do feel very confident that our community of orchestras and other stakeholders in classical music are definitely in a different place. And I do believe that there is greater will to make change. I'm encouraged that the conversations taking place in orchestras are going deeper than, you know, surface types of activity, but a real desire to dig deep into underlying issues and causes and wanting to work at that level. And as I said earlier, there really is a new breadth and scope and variety and ingenuity taking place across our field. So I'm optimistic. I think we're all optimistic, but we're also, we do this with humility and respect for how challenging and how hard the work is.
That was my conversation with Afa Dworkin, President and Artistic Director of the Sphinx Organization, Howard Herring, President of the New World Symphony, and Jesse Rosen, President and CEO of the League of American Orchestras. More information on the Alliance, including a link to take its survey, can be found at auditionalliance.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world that I bring you each week on iTempo. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.